Hi, welcome to Two Italian Women
and the Stories We Tell
with Erica Martin
and Diane Bovolino.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you coming back. Diane and I had a really fun night tonight. We had a few giggles over dinner.
We did.
I mean, she had me crying, which don't you need that once in a while?
Yes.
When you just laugh so hard that you cry, and really like not over anything in particular. It was just, we were exchanging stories of how we get when we overdo or we overextend ourselves. And it's kind of like we practice this and we immerse ourselves in this balance. But even then, sometimes we can still fall completely out of balance.
Yes, I know. And you try so hard to balance. Mm-hmm. We, especially as teachers, mm-hmm. we both try so hard to balance. And then you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
We try to check in with each other.
And thank God that, yeah. You know, the one thing we've learned is how easy it is to get out of balance, because there's just so many push and pulls in different directions and needs of so many people, whether it's your work or your clients or your family or your children or your elderly parent. I mean, there's just so much. And it's like a flooding that happens. You just can get over inundated with the demands and needs of others. And as an empath, which we've talked about quite a bit, it's like, it's so easy to push your needs aside when you're feeling someone else in distress or if they're disappointed or, you know, there's a long litany of things. But Diane and I were recapping all the things we got involved in the last 2 months. And we were like, yeah. Well, no wonder we're exhausted, you know, or no wonder, you know, we just needed a night tonight of just being silly and mindless and exchanging stories. And that's exactly what we did. And we had a really good time, I think.
And then as an empath, I get so excited. So when we started birthing, I call it birthing the podcast. I just get so, like, I put myself into it, my energy, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. And I know for us, it's been going on since December.
The concept.
Yeah.
The conception of our baby.
Yeah.
Happened, but the birth really took place in June. July, winter, we kind of come, or August, I guess, is when we had our actual launch.
Right, right.
You know, so all those months of, you know, recovering from COVID and, you know, COVID was such a blessing, I think, for so many people, as we've talked about, you know, that it gave you the opportunity to reprioritize, rethink about where you're placing your energy, where you want to place your energy. But there got to a point where it was just too much space for me.
Right.
And I craved the energy of the interaction with people. Like I, you know, that I thrive on that. Sometimes it exhausts me. Sometimes I need it to kind of get my creative juices flowing. And I think you were in that same space of, I feel flat. I feel bored. I feel unmotivated. You know, I need this, like the spark of the divine.
I used to always need to get out of the house. This is before COVID. I used to be like, I got to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. And my fiance would be like, you just never stay home. And then COVID happened and I would feel so claustrophobic. And I'd be like, my dog Zoe, I'd be like, oh yeah, we're going out for a walk. So I'd be constantly walking her because I'd feel so claustrophobic. And then I got to the point where I got used to staying at home. Mm-hmm. And then you almost got to the comfort of staying at home. But then as so much time went on, it was kind of like what you said, you missed that interaction.
And you know, I'm the opposite of you. I'm a homebody. You know, I'm happy to stay at home. I don't have to go out. I like to do it occasionally, but like my house is a sanctuary. You know, it's like my safe space. It's my creative space. But even for me, it was becoming like way too much. As much as I like being at home, I'm like, it's creating like an unhealthy energy where I'm becoming, you know, I didn't want to become like an agoraphobic who never left the house again. It was like a little too easy to do that. And I talked about the blessings COVID brought in the sense that I could be working remotely and still be with my parents, you know, my older parents who kind of needed some help at that time. And so it didn't leave me in that guilt paradigm of if I'm here, then I'm not there, you know, and that was a blessing for me. We talk about how we feel guilty about everything. Like the Italian Catholic guilt is still alive within us, despite all of the hard work we do.
Yes. And we keep working on that.
We're works in progress.
Yes. And working on our chakras and working on that. But I know this week I talked to Erica at dinner before dinner, lunch, whatever, kind of like late.
It was very long afternoon.
Yes.
We were working on our podcast eventually, yes. But we took time to just sit and enjoy.
Yeah.
Being outside on a beautiful day, enjoying a good meal.
Yes. We like our
good conversation.
Yes. Good food. But I did say that coming off my book launch, it's been like a week, and energetically it was fabulous last Friday. It was fabulous. But I was energetically exhausted. So I took the week to, as we call, self-love, self-care. And I've been feeling, I was telling her, I felt guilty, as we talk about that, Catholic, Italian. I felt guilty because I did not post it. I have not posted. I still haven't. Well, actually, no, we just posted a little bit. I just posted for the first time.
Yes.
Just like, I think 20 minutes ago. I mean, yeah. No, maybe 45 minutes ago.
But I said to her, Diane, we have like 20 years. Like, don't worry about it. But yeah, we keep the commitment, though. Like,
yes.
We keep the commitment. We believe in the project. We believe in the messages that we have to send. And to me, it's like, whether it's two people or 20 people, 200, 2,000, you know, obviously we want to reach as many people as we can, but it's not about the quantity of people. It's about the quality of the message. And even if it reaches a few people and you feel a little less alone, then I feel like we've accomplished something.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's really the whole goal of this. It's not to be like, I have to be famous or no, it's that we know the isolation and loneliness and being stuck one in the house during COVID, two, having chronic illness, which sometimes has you.
Just had a migraine this week. It was awful.
I know you. Well, the stress.
Yeah.
The stress. Yes. And when you're out of balance, the body's going to show you that you're out of balance. For you, it's migraines. For me, it's Crohn's. Right.
Right. And the body talks to us.
Yeah. And so.
So you're not alone. That's
So you're
a
not
big part of our channel.
Right.
Right. And that's what came out of COVID. Right.
Absolutely. But when you think about how we met and the journeys we've been on, they were lonely journeys. I mean, they really, really were. And so we talked about how in meeting in a therapeutic group, you and I, and all the things, like, there's nothing nicer than having someone who's been on the journey that you can, it's kind of like you speak the same language. You don't need a translator. Right. I saw something on Facebook about that. And that's nice because other people who maybe haven't had the same experiences or aren't empaths or just really don't understand energetically, you know, as a being, how that affects you, etc. It's like you have to translate, and that's even more energy to be expended. Right?
Right. And you only have so much energy. Just like we were talking about, if you go if you go to a healer, you're a healer, a counselor, and they haven't quite been in the shoes that you've been in. And I know this week I've talked to somebody who's been through, you know, anxiety, depression, and I'm like, oh, I understand all those things, been through them myself. Mm-hmm. Well, talk to somebody who's been through breast cancer. So when you've been through somebody who's been through all that, it's like you said, they don't have to really, I understand everything. So when you're with somebody who's already been through that as a healer, you know, I get them and they don't really have to speak it as much.
Yeah. Like they don't have to explain what it was like going through breast cancer. You know that.
Right.
Like that's an unspoken bond.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but it goes back to how we began this, like that balance part. Like sometimes we take on too much. We feel the guilt. We want to please everyone. We don't do everything for everyone. And it's like, you asked me, does your life ever truly seek a state of balance?
Yes, I did. We were talking that before.
I don't know. Perhaps our job is to prioritize and then keep those priorities as the focal point and not allow all the other distraction and noise and stories.
Yeah, I agree.
To kind of get in the way. But is it going to be in a perfect state of balance always? Well, I don't know. No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Too many things in life are going to happen to disrupt the balance. I guess it's our job to try and stay in that balance regardless of what's coming up. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's what I think. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like what listening to your body, and when you feel like it's out of balance, it's, you know, like, you know, I took the day to, I took the last week to rest and, you know, not put energetically out on, you know, social media or slow down a little bit this week. And
but it's hard to say no.
Yeah, I don't like that word.
No one likes that word. Like if someone asks you to do something, you can't just say, oh no. Like there, at least in my mind, it's always been like, I've had to come up with an excuse or I've had to rationalize. I can't just say no.
Yeah. I don't really know if, especially as girls, are we, like, I don't really think you're trained to say no.
I guess it depends on your situation, right? How you're raised or culturally, but not in our culture. We were more the yes, the yes people, right? Mm-hmm. I think I talked about one time, like how my grandfather would sit down at the table, and if there wasn't a spoon, every woman at the table would like jump up to get it. And I'm like, what is going on here? But before, like when I was younger and someone would like, maybe I just didn't know how to set a limit. Right. And I couldn't say no. I didn't want them to, you know, to ever be disappointed, God forbid, or not be pleased with me in some way. So God knows the stories I would make up. You know, like, oh, hey, could you do this to me? I couldn't just say, you know, hey, I'm overloaded. Mm-hmm. I really got too much. I'd be like, well, my aunt's uncle's cousin's sister is having baby shower and I need to knit a sweater. And like, I would go, why?
Because you're so intelligent. You crafted up an awesome story.
But that's a lie.
But, you know, it's a really good story. You have to give you some credit for that.
Well, I don't think I want to get credited as being a liar. Well,
liar's a strong word. Let's not use strong words.
It was a lie.
You know,
it was a flat out lie. And that's what I used to do in my younger years to avoid disappointing someone. Right. And a lot of you may struggle with the same or have children struggling with the same, you know, like people will lie for like usually one of two reasons. One is they're trying to safeguard from the shame of what they just did. And they just can't own it. Two is because they're trying to please someone else and they don't want to disappoint them, you know, and young kids are always lying. They go through that phase. Right. And you're like, well, why did they do that? They don't want the parents' disapproval. They don't want to see the parent upset with them. Right. Uh-huh. So for me, it was like, I couldn't just say no. I always had to find a reason that was like valid. And maybe having to knit a sweater for Joey's uncle's festers, whatever, you know, and I'm thinking to myself now how sad that actually was, that I couldn't just say, I'm overwhelmed. I have a test tomorrow. I'm studying. I got other responsibilities. Like to me, doing it for myself wasn't acceptable.
I totally understand that though.
Yeah.
So to me, it wasn't a lie because you just didn't. At the time, you weren't healthy enough to understand that.
Well, okay. That is true. I was not healthy enough and I lacked the skills to be able to speak my truth in a way that was that was appropriate. But it was a lot. I mean, it didn't come from a toxic, unhealthy place. It came from a place of not wanting to reject someone else or hurt someone else's feeling. But like, okay.
So we can say that came from, you know, love. Mm-hmm. You didn't really sit there methodically and think, I'm going to lie.
No, but it was easier than explaining that I needed something or that you needed something and I couldn't deliver on that for some reason. It was like, if there's a circumstance. Yeah, 'cause then you put
yourself above someone else. And it's like,
that's right.
We don't think we can do that.
Mm-mm. And it was also like, if there's something outside of myself that's responsible, like, oh, I need to babysit my little brother, or I have to go to this event. Then it was like, it wasn't my fault. Yeah, it wasn't
that's
happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that makes total sense. I'd love to hear from you guys out there if this is making sense to you, because it makes sense to me totally.
You know, now I look back and go, oh, that poor unhealed, you know, kid, teenager that just couldn't say, this is too much, or I just really can't do it right now. And I struggled with that, not the lying part, but the setting limit part into my 30s, early 40s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I could do it with my clients. I could set boundaries with my clients because that was my job to do it. And they expected me to do it. But friends and, yeah, no, forget it. Okay. How about relationships, Diane?
Oh, we're going to go there.
We're going to go there. Oh, you know, we've had a lighthearted.
I'm thinking, what's the time here?
Can okay. we go a month?
I'll play for a little bit. I'll play along for a little bit.
When I think of the inability to say no or to let someone down or to say, you know, I'm not interested or I don't want to go on that date.
Just to do the ghost text, you know.
There wasn't even texting at that point. When you think about like when we're teenagers, early 20s, we didn't have cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
So that was one advantage. You could like poof disappear. You don't have a cell phone.
Yeah, it really did.
But you know, they call at your mom's house or your parents' house. I'd be like, oh, Erica, you know, Joey Smith is calling. Oh my, I don't want to talk to him. You need to talk to him. He's a nice boy.
Oh, I didn't get this call.
You
did. I did not. No, I didn't. I don't have these stories.
All right, yours came a little later.
Don't have these stories.
Fitman.
No.
All right. How about saying no in relationships? That's my segue. How hard is it for when you were younger, maybe even early 20s? Like, was it just hard to say no?
Yeah, no is a hard word.
So what did you do?
You know, text was good.
All right. Well, we're entering into the text phase. We've traveled from this galaxy of the 70s into the 90s, I guess. When did text start? 90s? Whatever. Not relevant.
Well, yeah, I remember I said I was single like later on in life.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's texting.
All right. So you really never had that until later. Okay.
Yeah.
So then even harder to learn the lessons of.
Yeah, it still is hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what would you tolerate?
I would just say, oh, you know, nice to meet you. You know, do you want to
know? No, I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. What are you saying?
I just, you know, I would just do the nice text.
You couldn't say I'm not interested.
No, just, yeah, something like that.
Can't just say I'm not interested. I don't know what I'd say.
Come up with some nice thing.
But like, okay, say guys.
I just can't say, hi, I'm not interested in you. It's going to hurt their feelings. You got to say something
I'm
nice.
Not saying that.
Hi, I'm not interested in you.
But like if a guy.
I don't like the way you dress. I don't like your shoes. You can't say that stuff.
I'm talking about saying no. Like, so if a guy asked you out, would you say yes because you felt bad for him?
No, I don't have enough time.
Way back when you were single on dating, did you date some dandies and realize like I should have said no, or the off the wall things that they thought were acceptable? Because what I find is when you don't know how to say no, people are gonna up the ante on what they expect from you.
Well, sometimes I'd be like, oh, you don't look like your match picture. Just like,
did you actually ever say that?
No.
Why not? If you met someone and they totally misrepresented themselves, you don't think that that's worth calling out on?
No, that's not nice.
What was it, like a 30-year age difference?
Well, no, they just didn't look like their match picture. I don't know. I didn't say, when did you take your match picture?
I mean, how different are we talking?
I don't know. Just he didn't look like the match picture. You know.
All right. So then you go out with this guy on a match date. Match is coming up again. Second segment on match. And you're not interested. What do you do?
Eventually, you know, fly out after dinner.
Okay. So you went and like, let him take you home or kiss you or.
Oh my God, no. Okay. I flew out after dinner. Hell no.
So you have the ability to set that boundary.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be polite during the date and then I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
What happens when you're dating someone that maybe you really do like or attracted to? I know, not right now. You know, she's engaged.
Yeah.
She's lovely. So I just want to be very clear about that. But in the past, if you were dating someone and you did like them, but you couldn't say no, do you feel like you got taken advantage of? Like your kindness was taken advantage of?
Oh, like if you're in a relationship and you think the person was lying to you?
Or anything. Just like, you know, I have an expectation that you're going to do X, Y, and Z. because we're in a relationship? Did you feel like you could say no?
I don't really think I was in a relationship at all.
What about relationships you've been in? Could you say no? I feel like we're in an interview. I feel like Barbara Walters.
Oh, I'm in an
interview. Okay. With Felicity Huffman. Hi, Felicity. It's so nice to see you. Okay. Well, I will speak for myself.
I'm not good at saying no. I'll say that much.
I'm getting the gist of that. I'm getting the basic gist of that. I wasn't good at it either. So like if a guy went to kiss me, I couldn't even say no to that. Even if I didn't want to, I'd be like, you know, and try and have an exit strategy. If someone asked me on a date, I couldn't say no. And then I would pursue, and we're talking about much younger, right? But I would go out with the guy. And then the whole while I'd be bitching about how I didn't want to go out with this person, or how did I get roped into this, or how am I going to the dance with them? And I think back now, like how horrible to that person. It would have been much kinder. And I hope that they never knew I did that, but how much kinder it would have been to just say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm interested in someone else, or, you know, I'm really flattered or whatever. And so now I've learned that saying no is sometimes a much kinder thing to do. And not just about, I just think about relationships. Like when you're really connected to someone or you love someone, I think back to the things I was willing to accept or allow. It's like the threshold of crazy, given all the craziness we've lived through, an addiction, or it's like, we have a higher threshold than most people about what we'll tolerate and allow. And sometimes partners or even good friends will take advantage of that if they know you're tenderhearted and you have a hard time saying no.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, things I've signed up for, I don't even want to get into it. They are pitiful. Pitiful! You know, and I look back now, and I'm like, how many years of my life did I spend in servitude to other people's whatever just because I was afraid to say
no? Mm-hmm. Because we're people pleasers, or we were.
I mean, it sounds like some of us still struggle with this a little.
Who?
I don't know.
Who?
Not you.
No.
Not me. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But, you know, they did a study. This was several years ago. I remember teaching a class on drug and alcohol abuse. And one of the classes was like for early teenage and early adult intervention. And the statistics, at least in the state of Maryland at the time, were that women who had been raped or sexually assaulted said intuitively they didn't feel right about the situation or the person, but because they had the inability to say no, because they didn't want to be rude, they ended up in this situation. So to me, like helping everyone is so important. Helping women learn to be able to say no and set those boundaries. Just knowing that, just that one tidbit of statistic.
Exactly.
Is so important to get that message across that, you know, we found ways to like try and wangle our way around it, dysfunction, but the truth is the truth, right? And living your most authentic life is so important.
Oh, yes. I can see that statistic. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, and I can remember friends of mine being like, that guy creeps me out or whatever. And then you hear like something later down the line. And I'm like, you know, you really got to honor that intuition. I had some friends I'm blessed that were like, had no problem saying that. Like if we were out or we were having dinner, like this is in our early 30s, maybe, you know, it's a girls' night. I would always be nice. Even when the guy's a jerk, you know how they come up drunk. I feel like I can't hurt this person's feelings. Yeah. I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
I'll be kind. And my friend would go, hey, we're having a girls' night. You mind? We didn't invite. And I'd be apologizing.
Yeah.
She's like, why are you apologizing? They're being rude. They, you know, they're drunk. We don't want them, you know, and I'm like, you know, you're right. Right. And the longer I go, I'm like, you know what? I wish maybe I had a little, maybe not to that degree, but a little bit more of the chutzpah she had to be like, you know.
Yeah, I can never do that. Good for her though.
To this day, can you do it?
No.
I think I could. Softer version. You know, softer version of, hey, you know, I'm here with my girl. We're spending a nice time together. You know, appreciate the attention or something, but
I think I could
bolt cutters.
I think I could like say nicely to leave. I wouldn't like, I don't think I could say like get the heck out. I wouldn't like,
no, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't say sit down and hang out. I'd be like, hey, you know, I, you know, nicely say to leave, but I couldn't do what your friend did, is all I'm saying.
I never thought I could, but the more I've had people infiltrate my good time or my quality time with the people I love because of their shenanigans, I guess, for lack of, I've learned to just be able to say, like, you know, I'm flattered. We're having a girl's night. You know, I hope you have a good night. Kind of like,
yeah, like the nice way. Yeah, I can do the nice way. Yeah, I couldn't do the.
Well, there's the cashmere glove or the boxing glove.
Yeah, I can do the cashmere glove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're more like a mitten. I don't think you even worked up to a glove. You're like a little cashmere mitten. I think I reached glove status, and I don't know about boxing glove over here. I can use it when I absolutely have to, but it's not my preferred method. You don't like the thought of being a mitten, do you? Meow, 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 little kitten and Oliver mitten.
I might glove her in a second.
She's getting the boxing. See, I knew you had it in you. I knew you had it in you.
Oh my gosh.
Well, this is our random conversation.
And we're going to wrap up now on our nice, lighthearted conversation.
Was it?
It was not.
Neither nice nor lighthearted, but we gave it an effort. So,
but I think it was, I think you guys could really relate to a lot of what we spoke about though tonight. It was very real, which is what we bring you, I'm sure.
So until next time, this is Two Italian Women.
And the stories we tell, but before we do wrap up, I do want to say that you can, it's in our notes. You can write to us at our Gmail account. You'll see it in our notes because I cannot remember our Gmail account right now. And what
you can- Italian Women and the Stories They Tell at gmail.com.
Yeah, it's something different.
Oh.
It's a little different, but yes, you can write to us if you want to get on our mailing list to hear about any of our upcoming, if you want to get in on our, we have an empath group. Mm-hmm. And also we're going to have upcoming retreats and also some new groups that we're forming. So yes, that's what we have going on right now.
And the dates and everything are to be posted moving forward in the near future.
Yes.
And the empath group, just for those of you that know, it's Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6:30. It's every other Tuesday. The next one's being held this coming Tuesday. And if interested, we would be happy to have you join us. Actually, as the group's expanded, we may even be adding another one or two groups based on what we've heard back from all of you so far. So thank you so much for supporting us. Glad that we could be here.
So we're just keeping it simple. You can just email us. It's in the notes if you're interested. So thank you. Have a good night.
Stay well.